Thank you, Pastor Joel. Oh, my. It's good to be in the Lord's presence. I am completely convinced that what we need is more of His presence. We need more of Him. Yes. Well, you turned it over early to me today, so I have a long time to let you have it today. Enjoy His presence. I was reading this morning as I was just preparing my heart, the psalmist David. In Psalms 27, it's really becoming one of my favorite psalms. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. The face of Father is a face of intimacy. It's a face of invitation. It's a face of welcoming. This is not my sermon this morning. This is pre-sermon, so this is extra. So you have to put a little extra in your offering because you're getting extra today. You have been my helper. You do not reject me or forsake me. Teach me your way, O Lord. How many want to be taught by the Spirit of the Lord? Amen. For Him to teach us. Yeah. Well, actually, this morning, I want to do something that I have never done before in the almost 8 years I've been here. And whenever Pastor Bill says that, you grab your seat and hang on. Oh, Jesus, what's he? No. But I want to preface what I'm about to do. Well, first of all, let me say what I'm going to do. I'm going to read to you what I feel the Lord dropped in my heart throughout this past week. And the different aspect of this is that before, I've never written it down. Well, so now, let me give us just a word of caution before I read this, that even though it's written down, in no way does this equal Scripture. Did you hear that? Just because it's written down, it does not put it at the same level as Scripture. So just bear that in mind. And I submit this to us this morning in the spirit of 1 Corinthians 14, which is where the Apostle Paul says that one should speak and the others should judge. So I'm going to speak, and I'm going to ask you to just weigh it out in your spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So here's what I felt the Lord say to us. Get ready. Get ready. The Lord would instruct us to get ready for His coming presence. We must prepare ourselves both personally as well as corporately to welcome and sustain His manifest presence. Both individually and corporately, there must be a readiness. There must be a preparation. Going on, the blessing of Christ's manifest presence will not only be for our benefit. Did you know that God wants to bless others in addition to us? I welcome His blessings, but it's not just about me. There's a whole community around us that need to experience the freedom of the Holy Spirit. We are the carriers of Christ's divine manifest presence. The presence of Christ no longer dwells within a temple built by man, but abides within us as we continue to abide in Him. Oh, yes. The Lord is preparing us for the great harvest of souls before His soon return. I believe that there is a tremendous gathering that's already underway, and it's going to accelerate as people around the globe surrender heart and soul to the Lordship of Jesus. We get to be a part of that. Are you excited about that? I mean, that's an awesome, yeah. He's preparing us for the great harvest of souls before his soon return. Every place you set your foot will bear the mark of my presence. Your homes, work, families, and community, and all other places under your foot will be exposed to the manifest presence of Christ, and only then will you experience the inflow of the harvest. In other words, every place that you put your foot, his presence will bear the mark of that, the imprint of his presence. Oh, yeah. As the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive boldness to be my witnesses. Your witness, you will witness through expanding circles of influence. This influence will be provided as favor with God and man. You are to walk in the increase of favor with humility and absolute surrender to the will of Christ. Now, I know there's a lot here. I actually have two pages, so bear with me as I go through this. And I thought maybe what I would do, if it would be helpful, is to actually put a copy of this in a PDF file on the website so that later you can go back and read it for yourself and just reflect on it. So I'm not expecting you to grab all of the content of this, so just know that it will be available on BethlehemChapel.net for you to just view at a later time. This issue of expanding circles of influence, an influence which will be provided as favor. We are to walk in this favor with humility and absolute surrender. Because you see, it's a favor from the Lord. It's not a favor based on man's ability. It says in Scripture, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's what we're talking about. I believe the Lord also put in my heart that a passionate love song that comes directly from the throne of heaven will fuel this harvest. A passionate love song. We got just a taste of that this morning. Oh, let it come, Lord. You will break out into the new song, which will equip you and strengthen you to carry the manifest presence of Jesus out into the fields. Now this, watch this. We must develop an attitude of expectancy. We must develop an attitude of expectancy. I don't know if you noticed when you came in, but I just felt a tug in my heart to come over to the piano this morning and just begin to worship the Lord and tune myself in attitude to expect his arrival. I want to encourage us this morning that when you come into this place for a Sunday gathering, that you come expecting. That you prepare yourself, spirit, soul, and body, for his presence to come in. If you come in distracted, you will miss the opportunity of his presence. You must come in. We must come in with an attitude of expectancy. To know by faith that Father will come as two or three are gathered together. He will join us in our midst. I expect it. Those who come expecting will receive, but those who come distracted will leave with continued missed opportunity. Lord, help us to not miss you. Help us to not miss you. How many times Jesus looked at the people and he said, you have ears to hear, eyes to see, but you cannot hear and you cannot see. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God himself, standing right in front of them, and they missed the moment. They missed it. They missed him. Now, this is the fun part. Hang on to your seats. Our first requirement is always the preparation of death to self. You cannot welcome my presence while you are filled with self-willed flesh. The two are mutually exclusive of each other. The more you die, the more you will gain my presence. Oh, Jesus, help us to die. Do you understand that we're living a life surrendered to the death of the cross? Jesus, our great example, was faithful to the cross, and the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live must be lived by the fullness of the power of Christ. I must empty myself of fleshly desire, anything that would cause a hindrance and a block between my life and the life of God must be surrendered to the sacrifice of the cross. Oh, Jesus, help us. Now, Scripture must take preeminence in everything you do. The Word of God will be your continual guide as you step forward. You must saturate yourself daily through meditation in the Word. Then the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance what you have deposited within. How much do you saturate yourself with God's Word? Do you meditate on it? Do you allow it to just come into the depths of your being? Because Scripture says your Word is a lamp to my feet. His Word guides our steps. His Word reveals to us, there's that word again, reveal. His revelation comes through His Word. The Spirit will never contradict what He has already said. The two are in absolute unity and harmony. Oh, yes. I will lead you in pathways unknown to you. Now, my wife's clapping and all the women's team ministry, because that's actually the theme verse of the women's ministry retreat that's coming up. I will lead you in ways unknown to you. Do not fear the unknown. Now, I'm fully aware that much of what's in here is directly for me. Some of it is for me personally, some of it is for us corporately, so take this as you can and apply it to you. Do not fear the unknown. To fear is to question God's abiding presence. To fear is to question God's abiding presence. Has He not promised you, I will never leave you nor forsake you? To fear makes evident the need for maturity in the perfect love of Christ. For perfect love drives out fear. The fear of man is the great enemy of forward progress. Whew. Let's get the praise team back up here and sing some more, huh? Whew, man, Bill, this is heavy stuff. You know, when the Lord gives us His promises, and as He speaks to us, not only does He speak to us, but He gives us the ability to do what He puts in our hearts. He enables us to do what He speaks to us. Okay. The fear of man is the great enemy of forward progress. You are to put your fear firmly in the Lord and surrender the opinion of man to death on the cross. Only through full surrender and obedience will you walk the path put before you. Now, let me quickly bring this to an end, and then we'll get into the sermon, which this really is the sermon, by the way. Okay. A sacrifice will be required of you. The releasing of what you treasured before will shape the sacrifice. Those things which you counted as gain, you must now count as loss for the sake of Christ. To gain Christ is to lose the things of the world. Be careful what you say to one another. Listen in this now. The Holy Spirit put this very firmly in my heart this past week. Be careful what you say to one another. For you are snared with the words of your mouth. Proverbs 6:2. You can grieve the presence of the Holy Spirit by what you say to one another. The power of the tongue must continually be surrendered to the obedience of Christ. He held His tongue when He was accused and allowed His Father to fight on His behalf. You must follow the example of Christ in the same manner. Be careful what you say to one another. Do you understand that we have life and power in this? It has the ability to build up or the ability to tear down. It can express and plant a seed of life, or it can distribute seeds of death. Let us be people that speak life. Be careful what you say to one another. It is of utmost importance that you keep your eyes fixed on Christ, for He alone is your stability and provision for every need. He alone will lead you down the path by His Spirit who lives within you. He alone is faithful to complete what He started. Oh, yes. Last thing. Do not hesitate. Do not second guess. Do not question. The pathway will be made clear as you step out in faith and trust. Let me say that again. The pathway, whatever pathway applies to our lives, if you're seeking for answers and you're seeking for the wisdom of Christ for your life, quite often a step of faith is required so that you are in motion to be able to receive His revelation. Quite often what we will do is stand stationary and expect Him to hit us over the head when He would say, step, take a step. Take a motion of faith. Abraham, leave what's familiar and step out, and I will show you as you are in motion. Do not hesitate. Do not second guess. Do not question, for the pathway will be made clear as you step out in faith and trust. You must step out, for that is the only way to receive the fullness that Christ has for you. You must believe in the full promise of God and know that He is for you. So who can be against you? That's what I felt the Lord drop in my spirit. Now judge that. Think about it. Pray about it. And that leads me to our text for this morning in the first chapter of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, remember with me that Joshua was the servant, the aide of Moses. Moses, of course, was the one who was God's hand-picked individual to lead the people out of slavery from Egypt, but Joshua was right alongside throughout the whole journey. Joshua was the one who stayed in the presence of the Lord. Remember, as Moses would go into God's presence, and he would experience God speaking to him face to face as a friend speaking to a friend. It's recorded that Joshua was the one who lingered in God's presence. Are you willing to linger in God's presence? How hungry are you? Joshua was hungry. It said in Exodus 33, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And when Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua would not depart from the tent. I've just recently read it in a book. It said this, we are as close to God as we choose to be. We are as close to God as we choose to be. Now, the text that I want to pull from and want to respond to is Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, and then verse 11. They're common in thought. Look at it with me. It says, now then, you and all these people, here it is, get ready. Get ready. You and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Verse 11, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan and go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Let's pray together one more time. Father, I pray over the next few moments. Father, we've sensed your great presence here. We've responded. We've surrendered. We've listened. God, you have, I believe, spoken to us. help us, Lord, as we look at Scripture. Just unpack it for us, Holy Spirit, and give us the ability, hearts to receive and minds to understand what you have to say to us today, I pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, let me go back here actually to verse number 1, Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, after the death of Moses, remember in what I just read, what I felt the Lord drop in my heart, that the initial step, the initial preparation is always going to consist of the fun thing called death. Dying. It was after the death of Moses that God came to Joshua and he said, now's the time. Get ready. In 3 days, we're going to go. We're going to move. We're going to cross over. It came in response to the death of Moses. There has to be, I believe, a releasing of the former to be able to be postured to reach forward to what God has. If we hang on to Moses, so to speak, we will not be positioned to be able to move forward into what God has. There has to be a release. There has to be a death of sorts. Now, what I shared just a minute ago is obviously it's a death to the fleshly, sinful nature. Is there anybody here in the blue chairs that would admit that you have a fleshly nature? Whew, look at all those hands. I'm with you. Do you understand that we will be in constant battle for the rest of our days fighting the fleshly nature, but greater is He that's within us. God gives us the ability to die. So this initial thing after the death of Moses, the movement of God always responds to the death of self. And this first preparation must always begin with the crucifixion of this fleshly nature. I've already quoted the verse in Galatians 2:20. The Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. To be crucified with Him is a conscious, intentional decision. Every morning that I get up and put my feet on the floor, I have to make a decision for that day. Will my flesh live or die? And the more I die, the more I can have Christ live within me. Okay. Verse number 3. You can see as we track through the first 10 or 11 verses of Joshua 1 that much of what I felt the Lord drop in my heart this past week is in direct reflection of this story of what God said to Joshua. In verse 3, God said to Joshua and to the people, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Now, yes, I understand and am fully aware that we have to be very, very careful when we're interpreting Scripture as to how we apply what was written then to us today. I am fully aware that God was speaking specifically to the people of Israel in regards to moving into the promised land that He had prepared them for, but I believe that there is application for you and I today. Are you with me? Okay, I was hoping for a little more yes on that right there. I will give you every place where you set your foot. This, I believe, ties into this thought of coming with an attitude of expectancy. We have to expect that God is a good Father and that He loves us, and it's His great desire to go before us and give us His presence, His Spirit. And remember what I shared, His presence is not just for us. Oh, as much as we love and we treasure and we want, like David in Psalms 27, I want to have your face. But Father, the whole purpose of having your face is not to just keep it to myself, but to step out and to have the ability to share that presence with others around me. Because the presence of God always follows the heart of God, and the heart of God is that none should perish. If we want the presence of God, we will have to get in motion to pursue the heart of God, and pursuing the heart of God always requires me to step out into a hurting world who needs to hear the gospel of Jesus. It's the heart of Father that none should perish. So as we bear His presence, every place that we put our foot will make an indentation of His presence. It will bear the mark of His being so that people around us, whether it's in the workplace or at home or in the community, wherever we go, even in Walmart, His presence goes with us. I want us to catch that. Because His presence is not confined to this setting. His presence needs to go out the door as we abide in Him and carry the presence of Christ within us. And as we take steps and as we interact, these people need to hear the heart of Father. And He expresses His heart through you and through me. His church. I will give you every place. I got a little bit excited about this part because I started to think of the many who are here maybe today who for years you've been praying for the salvation of your own family. You have been seeking God to come down and bring freedom and deliverance to things that have been held in life for years and decades and have been carried through from year to year to year. Could it be that now Father is saying, as you make yourself available and as you get ready, freedom will come, deliverance will come, salvation will come. Let it be, Lord. You see, sometimes I think after we seek and we pray and we push for so long in certain ways, sometimes it's easy in our nature to just start to lose hope and to start to back off and to start to maybe accept, well, I guess that's just the way it's meant to be. Don't ever believe that. I will give you every place where you set your foot. Every place we set our foot is the promise that we prepare for. Every place. Every person you come in contact with, every place that you do business, every motion that you make will bear the mark, the image of Father's presence. That's what I believe He's saying. So Shane, when you go to business, it's not about your business. God will bless your business and He'll give you favor with God and man. But the favor comes as a direct emphasis to carry His presence to those clients. So as you're dealing with them about the needs of insurance, it goes much beyond insurance. It's ultimately about His presence being revealed through you. So that brings a very serious implication. If we are the carriers of God's presence, and if we bear His image, and if as we go out in front of people, we need to have the sinful nature of our lives die so that we can walk in an upright manner, so that as people come in contact with us, they get a true reflection of His image. I don't want to do or say anything that would bring disrepute to Father. I don't want to put a black mark on the cross of Jesus. I don't want the people out in the community, when they look at me, to say, oh, is that what it looks like to be a Christian? Is that what it sounds like to be a follower of Jesus? We need to guard the image of Jesus. We need to be careful what we say and how we act. And the attitudes that we portray. Somebody say amen. I'm starting to sound like my dad. Whew. Wow, I'm telling you. That's a good thing, isn't it, Pastor Joseph? He'd be proud if he was here. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm not speaking today out of response to something that I've become aware of. Sometimes preachers can preach mad. You understand that? It's not good when a preacher preaches mad, because we get into the fleshly nature. Mad is an emotion. It's a fleshly thing. And if I preach mad, I preach at you. I'm not wanting to preach at you today. Are you with me? Okay. But I'm going to come back to this thought that I read earlier. We must be careful with what we say. We must be careful. If we find ourselves in settings, wherever they may take place, and what would seem to be innocent at the time could be spoken, but it could bring forth an opportunity of death and destruction to the hearer. It could generate a seed of discouragement and doubt and hopelessness. And if we're not careful, we can miss the opportunity of God's presence because of the things that we say out of our mouths to one another. And then when we come in on a Sunday morning gathering, we sit here and we look at each other across the way, and the Holy Spirit becomes grieved. Grieved. His heart can become grieved. And when the Holy Spirit is grieved, I believe that he withdraws. He pulls back to such an extent. Not that he departs, don't misunderstand me, but he joins himself. It's very evident to me throughout Scripture. Paul and others emphasize the unity of the body of Christ, to be unified, to be one in spirit, to come together, to lift and build each other up. In 1 Corinthians 14 that I referenced earlier, Paul talks about this whole aspect of prophecy. And the aspect of prophecy is to build up. It's to encourage. It's to strengthen. Are you living a life that's strengthening and encouraging those you come in contact with? Be careful what you say. I'm talking to me. Sometimes, in all absolute innocence, I will say something, and afterwards, the Holy Spirit will go, uh-oh, be careful. Bill, did you hear what you said? You just placed death and a curse upon that person in what you said. You need to remove that and repent of that. Surrender that word to me and allow the blood of Jesus to come in and cleanse that place. Sometimes we can speak words of death to our spouse. Sometimes we can speak words of death to our children. Sometimes to our next door neighbors. Sometimes to our brothers and sisters in Jesus. Be careful what you say. Joshua 1:4. The Lord said to them, your territory will extend. I believe that we are getting ready for an expansion of his manifest presence. An expansion. This expansion, I believe, will be in the form of as we walk in the Spirit daily. Now, listen, we must understand that the presence of God no longer dwells within a temple built by man. Do you understand? Do we understand that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're the temple. I'm the temple. We are the carriers of his presence. That's what I said just a little bit ago when I read through that. We carry his presence. The presence of God no longer dwells within a temple, within a facility, within brick and mortar. It's never about brick and mortar. It's about your life and mine being available to carry the manifest presence of Jesus. I'm still on page 1 here. Your territory will extend. We are to prepare for an expansion of manifest presence. And this expansion, I believe, will extend out into the surrounding areas as we carry the presence of Jesus upon us in a strong anointing. Father, let your anointing come upon us as a congregation. Verse 5, the Lord went on to say, no one will be able to stand against you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Here it is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. As we step and as we move and as we carry his presence, this ties into the thought that the fear of man is the great enemy of forward progress. He is with us. And to fear is to question his abiding presence. When I fear, it becomes evident that I am not mature in his perfect love, for his perfect love drives out all fear. Perfect love. Perfect love will bring down the walls. Perfect love will bring down the defenses. The perfect love of Jesus will come in and dispel or drive out fear. We don't have to fear. To fear is to question his abiding presence. Yet he promises us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. His presence will not only be upon us, but he will lead us in pathways unknown to us. Is there anybody here this morning that really truly enjoys going down pathways you've never been down before? Maybe I have a few. I hope so. It's not wrong. It's not bad. It's good. You know, it's scary sometimes, but there again, the fear needs to be placed in the Lord and not in fear of what may lie around the corner. I don't know what the deal has been. For the last couple of mornings, I've been dreaming about sharks. I haven't watched any movies. I haven't read any books. I haven't done anything that has anything to do with sharks. But the other morning, yesterday morning, I saw myself on a surfboard, belly down, paddling through the water, and all of a sudden, people started yelling, "Shark! Shark!" And we were in a pool of sharks. And my instant reaction was to turn the surfboard and point it back to the shore and paddle as fast as I could to get out of the water. And as I started paddling back to the shore, all of a sudden I felt something swim up against me and bump me in my left side. And I knew it was risk. It was a shark. He didn't bite me. He didn't harm me. He scared me. He hit me. And I felt the scales and the sandpaper-like aspect of his skin as it rubbed up against my ribs. And it made me want to paddle faster. And then I woke up. And I said, "Now wait a minute, Lord, if you're going to give me a dream like that, I need to know what you're saying, if that's something from you." So I stayed there for a while, and I laid there for a little bit, and I said, "Now Lord, if you want to say something to me, I'm here." And I felt, as I just stayed there and made myself available, I felt the Lord say to me, "Bill, the normal fleshly tendency is to want to row back to shore as fast as you can, but what needs to happen is to go out to deeper water. Go out to deeper water. Because when you turn and you try to head back to shore to what feels and seems safe, you are actually positioning yourself right in the middle of the swarm, and you're going to get hit up alongside. I'll protect you from the bite and from the damage, but you're going to position yourself. What you need to do is head out to deeper water, because the sharks are swarming here. I'm out there." Now, that was my dream. You can't have it. That's mine, okay? But the Lord made very evident to me that we cannot default to what would feel right, to what would make sense to us in our natural thinking, because if we're surrounded by sharks, the common thought is, I've got to get out of here and get back to where it's safe. But Father says the place that it's safe is in deeper water. Oh, yeah. He will lead us in pathways unknown to us. Isaiah 42, 16. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. Will you row with me out to deeper water? Well, you got to buy a surfboard first, all right? So go on Amazon and place your order this afternoon. Let me hurry on. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Remember with me, the Word of God must take preeminence. It must take the number one spot, the top seat on the ladder, the top rung. The Word of God must be our guide for all that we believe and all that we do. His Word. His Word. We must be students of His Word. Study to show yourself approved. A workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing His Word of truth. Study. Work at it. Meditate. God told Joshua, meditate in My Word. Meditate. Reflect. Put it in there. Let it stir. Saturate your head, your heart, your mind, your will, your emotions. Let My Word be deposited within you. Then My Spirit will bring back to your remembrance what you have put within. So as we go out in unknown territory, unfamiliar places, His Word will be the light to our paths. Wow. We are not to fear the unknown. We are to place our fear firmly in the Lord, a reverent fear who honors Him. Do not let this book depart. Meditate day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. I'm hearing the laughter, and I'm not distracted by it, but I think I'm hearing a spark that the Lord's wanting me to key in on. We must become like little children. Jesus said it. We must become like little children who do not have a fear to go out and to play and to experiment and to explore. And sometimes we get so afraid of, well, what if I fail? Or what if I don't say it right? Or what if I don't do it right? You see, the little child, they don't tend to think that way. They just are thrilled by the exploration. They are thrilled by the pursuit. They are thrilled through the act of discovery and imagination. And they always ask these irritating questions. Why? Why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? Why? And we get sometimes annoyed, but that's the heart that Father wants. He wants the heart of pursuit, of anticipation, of exploration. He wants us to step out with a curiosity of His divine power. And He is not annoyed by our questions of why. Become as little children. Well, I'm too mature to be like a little child. I've got a certain reputation that I have to maintain, Pastor Bill. I don't want people to think I'm childish. It's not what I'm saying. For Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, and I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I'm not talking about being childish. I'm talking about being childlike. There is a difference. To be childish is to think and speak and act improperly. It is to cut and devour and harm one another. But to be childlike is to go forth with a heart of innocence, a mind of curiosity, a willingness to receive the unknown. Childlikeness is what Jesus taught. Childishness is what Paul said must be put away. Huge difference. Maybe what could be the most spiritual lesson for you and I would be to go in, instead of hearing on a Sunday morning, hearing Pastor Bill preach a sermon, maybe what would be helpful is for us to go sit in the nursery and just sit there and watch. And watch the little ones just bounce off the walls. All the energy, all the imagination. Because the chair turns into something more than a chair, and the toy turns into something more than just the toy, because of the ability to embrace, the ability to expect and to anticipate. And that's what God is saying. Develop an attitude of expectancy. Come in this place prepared. Be like the little child who walks in the door and makes a beeline for the teacher and says, "Oh, it's so good to see you." And they wrap their little arms around your legs and they give you a big hug. Isn't it what Father desires, is for us to run in those doors and wrap our arms around His strong legs and say, "Oh, Father, it's so good to see you today. I come prepared, hungry, wanting to experience God. And that hunger propels me to a place where I am willing to be seen as foolish or seen as a little child." When we have a service this, like we had this morning, and the availability of Father's presence. Now here, I'm not mad at you, and I'm not preaching at you. Don't misunderstand. And I've already said it's not about being emotional, but we are people of emotions, and quite often there will be an emotional response. You put an ice cream cone or a fun event in the hands of a little child, there is quite often a response, and it's quite visible. Are you with me? Most of the kids I've been around, when they get something for Christmas that they were really, really hungry and longing for, and they open that big wow, and they see that it's exactly what they had hoped for, the common response is not usually, "Oh, well, thanks, Mom. I so thank you for this." Blessing to my parents. You know what it's like. They can hardly wait for the sun to hit and the eyes to open, and they run out of the room, and if you don't stop them, if you don't get ahead of them, the next thing they're there, they're going. Let us do the same. Let us get to the place where we're childlike and we're willing to set aside what anyone may think or say, because we're so excited about seeing Father and receiving His presence as the great prize of all the earth. Let me finish up. In verse 11, God said to Joshua, "Go through the camp and tell the people, get ready." Get ready. I mentioned that there must be a preparation both individually and corporately. I don't have time this morning to get into the corporate aspects of this sermon. What I want to do is stop right there and let you just soak in at a personal level, as an individual level. But be assured that as I meet with leaders and as I meet with staff and departmental leaders and the board and different ones, I can guarantee you that we will have a conversation about preparation for His presence at a corporate level. Pray for us. Will you do that? Will you pray for wisdom, direction, understanding? To prepare. It's in my notes. Let me just tantalize you with this thought from a corporate perspective. I felt the Lord ask me this past week, as He was just kind of downloading in my heart, I was just sitting in my office. I felt the Lord ask me personally this question. Bill, what would you do if I added 3,000 people to the church this Sunday? How would you handle that? Can you imagine from a corporate, from a organizational perspective, what that would look like? What that would require? Because with blessing, quite often comes strain. With favor, it's a two-edged sword. It's favor, but it's added responsibility. That happened in the book of Acts, chapter 2. God added 3,000 people that day. Jessica, let's put up on the screen, and this is, I'm going to leave this with you. In Acts chapter 6, as the Lord added to them daily, we read in Acts, in those days the number of disciples was increasing. The Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. With the increase comes strain. It wasn't intentional. The oversight of feeding the widows was not an intentional thing. It happened in the process of the great increase that God was bringing to the church. So in verse 3 and 4, it says, brothers, let us choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word. I believe that programs are needed, but the programs must follow the presence. Catch that. We tend to think programmatically. It's not a sin, it's not incorrect. But if we think programmatically first and say this is what we're going to do in program and expect them to confine the presence, we get it backwards. We have to flip that. Programming must follow His presence. His presence will establish the need of the programming. It will become evident as to what programs we need because His presence has shown up, and all of a sudden there is an inflow of people, and there need to be programs to meet and facilitate His presence. That's a whole nother sermon. But pray for us. Seriously. Because the Lord's stirring this within me, and I believe without a doubt that His word to us today is get ready. If the Lord were to show up today in the way we've been praying, I'm not completely sure that we could fully handle it because we haven't prepared. Maybe it's out of His mercy for us that He has delayed the arrival of His manifest presence to give us opportunity to prepare ourselves, to get ready with anticipation of His presence. Are you with me? We pray, oh God, come down. Oh God, fill this place with Your glory. And when He does, oh boy, it has to be sustained. And the history of revival throughout the years, Pastor Joseph, has not been a very good record. I don't believe that it's Father's desire to come down and fill us with His presence only to see us collapse under the weight of His glory. Well, enough said. The little ones are crying. Stan, would you, Pastor Joel, come up here, and Kelly and I are going to go out front. Like I said, we will make what I shared this morning, I'll make it available as a PDF file. I'd encourage you to read it, pray over it, weigh it out. Josh, come up here, and praise team, come up here. Would you just take the hands of those next to you? Would you do that this morning as just a way of connection? You've been sitting a while and kind of stationary. Joel's going to lead us in a dismissal prayer. As he does this, my prayer would be that we go out to the deeper water. That we just don't default to heading to the shore because it seems to be right. So, Pastor Joel, it's all on you. Pray that we go to deeper water, all right?
So good. You know, can we, so even before we close in prayer this morning, can we go back to a moment we had earlier in the service? You know, as Pastor Bill's talking about, the Father wants to lead us out into deeper water. Can we just stop for a second? Just tell him that he's a good Father. And he's not going to take us out into the danger, out into the place where we're going to fall off and drown, but he's going to take us to the perfect place that he has for us. And he's going to bring us to the place that is life and life abundant. Let's just sing this morning as a group, as a body. Lead us.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of perfect in all of your ways, two ways. Oh, and you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect.
Our voices now. Let's just close this out. Close our service with this. Just our voices this morning. Lead us, Paige. Father, this morning we declare it as a body that you are good, Lord. And we remember this and we hold it dear, Lord. We cherish it this morning that you are our good, good Father. God, and you want to bring salvation not only to us, Lord, which you already have, but to this entire city, Lord, to this entire world. God, do this morning. God, you inhabit our praises and we praise you. And we praise you, Lord, with our lives. As we leave this place this morning, we are your church this morning, God. So let your glory shine brightly through us. Bring people to you and use us to do it, Lord. Have your way here in Ephrata as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.